Hi, I'm Dr. Karen Phillip, Relationship Therapist, and I have the pleasure in introducing the winner of our third series of The Voice, Anya Nissen, and we're going to speak about her life, career, and love. Hi, Anya, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Now, what have you been doing with yourself this last year or so, Anya?
Doing a lot, actually. I've been in Denmark and I've been trying to get into Eurovision. Like, I did a competition in Denmark. I was over there for 3 months trying to learn the language, and then now I'm back in Australia. I've been here for about a month, and in 2 weeks I leave to go back to Denmark again and then off to LA for maybe, you know, an unextended period of time and try and get my career happening over there as well, recording and all that sort of stuff. So,
what was the reason that you decided to enter The Voice those few years ago?
In Australia, the industry is very hard. Like, it's very difficult to, like, sort of break into it. And I'd been performing since I started singing lessons when I was six and sort of started performing when I was 6 years old and doing competitions and stuff like that. And I started, like, my professional career at age 12, to go on The Voice to get exposure so that I could get more performance opportunities, but also as a way of testing myself and learning more about myself, because I see on those competitions that you are forced to sort of learn a lot about yourself very quickly and what sort of artist you want to be. I've learned things that I like, things that I don't like, what it's like to be in the media, how vicious it can be and how rewarding it can also be.
What was it like for you being pushed to your limits every day on that competition?
No matter how many times you performed on stage, you know, performing on TV in front of millions of people always will bring out something in you that can either scare you or, like, you go, wow, like, how did I do that? Looking back on the whole competition, I think, whoa, how did I even, you know, fess up those nerves, like the courage to get up on stage and perform, because I remember the feeling I would get before I go on stage. At the same time, it brings out so much and you learn so much about yourself. And but there was a stage in, like, the first few weeks when the competition really started. We had to live in the city in an apartment by ourselves, and I was, like, only 18. I'm used to living on, like, big acreage and being able to go outside, ride motorbikes, be with my dog, see my family, my grandparents, all that sort of stuff. And now I was really confined in this apartment. It's a big difference. And when you're only 18 and just come out of school and all sort of stuff, like.
So what advice would you give to anyone wanting to enter a contest like The Voice?
I think it's definitely good. I think really think about it before you do it. I auditioned for The Voice twice before I actually did it. As in, like, I auditioned when I was 16 and I pulled out, auditioned again when I was 17 and I didn't get through. And then when I was 18, I auditioned again. So, yeah, it really puts thought into it because it is life-changing. And I've got a friend who's going on it this year and she was sort of like, oh, I don't know whether to do it. And I, like, she doesn't think she's going to win. She's like, I don't think I'm going to win. And I was like, shouldn't be about that. And that's was my main thing when I went on it. Don't go on it to win it. Go on it to get experience and learn about yourself.
Being on a reality TV show, do you feel that people think that they know you? And what do you think they know about you?
Yeah, sometimes people know you. Like, the other day I was out and, you know, a guy came up to me and just put his arm around me and gave me a big kiss on the cheek as if he knew me, like, and was like, oh, you're Anya, like, oh, you do want to sing at our wedding? And, but yeah, there is some people that will judge you and be like, you know, making friends and sussing out who wants to be your friend genuinely or who just wants, like, who just sees you as a connection.
How do you manage the social media remarks about you?
Someone told me once it's best not to read any of the comments, like, because if you just read the positive ones, you become big-headed. If you just read the negative ones, then, you know, you get depressed. So, you know, then on The Voice, I was reading a lot of the comments. You know, once people have a favourite, they'll say anything about the other person. So you just have to let it go at the end of the day. You know in your heart what's true and what's not. And you've got to be big enough to take the criticism with a grain of salt, if it is true.
That's a great way to look at it. Really
Yeah,
good
or
way.
you know, like to listen to it. Don't be like oblivious, but it is good to listen to it if there's someone you care about and you trust their opinion telling you something. It's like if you shut yourself off from learning and being critiqued, it can be really damaging because you just end up plateauing and not being more successful than you could have been.
So how does publicity affect you dating and finding love, if at all?
I had a boyfriend during The Voice and he was amazing. Like he dealt with like the, what do you call it, everything that's going on really, really well, and he was so supportive. But I think in the end of the day, like you can, sometimes you just got to be really careful that they don't become too involved in your career because then they can forget about themselves. I look for someone, like the most difficult thing I think is that like I said, you got to have your feelers out for someone who's genuine, but also at the same time, like it's a balance between having someone who's really interested in your career and someone who's like too interested or someone who's like not interested at all. Because you want to feel supported, but you don't want to feel overbearing. Like, and this sounds really bad, but like where they look at you differently, like because they have like stars in their eyes. Do you know what I mean? You want someone who sees you for who you are, bare and honest and real and with faults and, you know, a bit crazy. Like I am crazy. I have a boyfriend at the moment and I sometimes say to him, like, how are you with me? Like, I'm actually crazy. And I think everyone is a little bit crazy.
And what's your criteria, if you like, for a
partner? I don't really have one. I actually don't. Like, I always thought I did. Like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, I want him to be, like, muscly and blonde and blue-eyed and tall and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, when you're, like, idealistic, whatever, of who you'll be with. And that's not who, like, the people that I have been in relationships with are not like that at all. Like,
it sounds like you've turned your criteria from external to more internal.
Definitely. My sort of criteria is that if someone walks into a room and like, it's just undescribable when you meet that someone.
The chemistry.
The chemistry, the energy, the way they make you feel, that's what I look for. It doesn't matter what they look like or what they do, what their money status is or, you know, where they're from, all that sort of stuff, their background, their history. Like, as long as I have, like, a connection with them. And then, you know, obviously I'm not going to, like, leap into a relationship straight away. And with my boyfriend now, we're the perfect example of, like, we met out one night and I was not expecting to meet anyone at all. And I didn't want a relationship with anyone. I'm trying to be single and all that sort of stuff. And we just plunged into a relationship.
How important it is to you that your family and friends approve of the person you choose to be with?
I would say, like, it is important because, like, I really respect both my parents and my family's opinion of people, like, as in, like, they're people that care about me, and if they thought someone wasn't right for me. My mum has, like, you know, been in some, like, she was in a bad relationship before she met my dad, and so, like, I know, and she's also a counsellor and stuff like that. So, like, she's good at reading people the same way that I am. But at the end of the day, at this point in my life, both my parents have pulled me aside and sort of said, you shouldn't be in a relationship right now. Like, you need to be single so that you can focus on your career and do the things that you need to do without being distracted. You know, we can fight just as much as it can be, like, you know, intense, and you can talk about your feelings and everything right down to a T. And I've seen that with one of my friends. She was in a relationship where the male was very manipulating and passively abusive towards her, like just brainwashing her sort of thing. And like, but she had this nice apartment and she had lived there and he was living there with her. So then she sort of felt obligated to stay in the relationship because she's also of a certain age where, like, she felt like if she lets him go, then she's damned because, you know, then how's she going to find someone else and have kids and by the time, you know, she's a certain age, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, look, absolutely you do. And unfortunately there's too many relationships that are, as you described, that and you do feel stuck, exactly right, in those relationships.
You can also, especially when it's passive aggressive, then it makes it really hard as well, because you feel, and I don't know if I've had this experience myself, but I can imagine that you feel you have so much love for that person. As women who are carers, we also want to make that person better. And if they're upset or they come crying to us after doing something bad or horrible, we tend to forgive and forget and go, oh, they can be a better person. But we do it too many times. And if you that's where you've got to draw the line and go, no, what, like three times or like once is enough, like, to be honest.
What would be a deal breaker for you in a relationship? Would it be anything to do with a disagreement on family or where to live, even children, whether you should or shouldn't have them?
I don't think, if I was in love with someone and I was ready to spend the rest of my life with them, like, talking about children wouldn't matter, like, unless they were like, oh, let's have like a lot of kids, I'd be like, no, or something like that. In terms of family.
Yeah, but even if they didn't want children, say they said that their career was so engrossing for them and they were so consumed by their career and also by you, and they didn't think that they wanted children. Would that be a deal breaker?
Could be, like, but I think, I don't know, I've always imagined myself as a mum, so I don't know, like, but it could be that my career is too busy as well, so it doesn't, you know, I want to make sure that I'm able to give my child the best possible, you know, growing up experience. I want to be there, you know, my parents worked very, very long hours and I had a lot of nannies growing up and stuff like that. And I really want to be there for my kids. My mum was always really good at being there for me, and I want to be the same for my kids.
Yeah, it's so important. Absolutely.
It really is. And you see a lot of the people that are in the limelight, they're so busy with their careers that sometimes, you know, their kids do end up growing up with carers and stuff like that, and I don't know what that would be like, but I can only imagine that you would end up having a detachment between the children and the parents. Okay. And I definitely wouldn't want that. So if my career was too busy, I would have to sacrifice not having a child if I knew that it wasn't going to be beneficial.
Some people say trying to make it is more fun than having to sustain it. Would you agree with that type of statement?
I definitely agree. Like, when I look back on, like, I'm about to go to LA, hopefully by the end of this year, to do recording and all that sort of stuff, and try and find a manager overseas, and whilst you're there, write diaries about how you're feeling in that moment. Like I said, I've been reading my diaries from when I was on The Voice, all that sort of stuff, and it's just really interesting to see how I was feeling.
What do you do to unwind?
Riding motorbikes.
As in road or trail?
Just trail. I think road's too dangerous. That's, you know, on trail, just, I don't know, it's sort of good to go for a ride and feel the wind on your face. And I like driving in my car as well. Like, recently I've been doing, like, this yoga stuff, and I'm sort of trying to push my body to do stuff that, like, I never thought it could do, that I really want to be, like, more stronger, or certain things, like going to the gym as well. It's like you push yourself to out of your comfort zone, because it's a sense of achievement to be able to go, wow, like, I did something that I thought I couldn't do. My granddad is the perfect example of that. He's a nutcracker. He is, like, if people meet him, like, my boyfriend went sailing with him the other day, and he was just like, your granddad is the coolest person I know. He's like, I want to be best friends with your granddad, because you go to his house, he plays like pool and snooker, and then like he plays golf, and he yacht races every Wednesday in the Sydney Harbour, and he like comes, like, he pretty much wins every time.
Wow.
And he's like 78.
Where did you get all of your empathy and your ability to see so broadly?
It's funny you say that. I think, like, I haven't talked about it much, but, like, my dad has bipolar disorder. And so growing up in a household with so much, like, emotion and different things going on, it can sort of affect, like, you know, the way that you can look at things in life. but singing was just always what I wanted to do. I did have a love, and I still do, for animals. So, like, if, you know, look, if singing really, really didn't work, I'd probably try and go into, like, marine biology or, like, zoology or something like that. Or, like, when I was younger, I always used to say, oh, if singing doesn't work out, I want to be a masseuse. I don't know why. But I always used to, like, give people massages in my family. Like, I was the kid that went around and, like, gave people shoulder massages.
What sort of influence would you like to have on young women?
I freak out for, you know, the younger generation coming in now with Instagram and all this stuff that you can see up there. Like, you know, we're not perfect. And that's sort of the role model I would like to be, is, like, just as long as you're happy and healthy, like, that's all that matters. That's, like, sort of become my motto, is that, like, and I struggle to live by that as well, but it's something that I've got to remember, that as long as you're happy and healthy, that's all that matters. We're all different shapes and sizes, and that's the thing. Like, be happy in your body. Don't wish for another body. Enjoy the one that you have whilst you have it, and for as long as you have it. Like, really embrace it and go, you know, I'm really happy for this, and try and be the best version of yourself that you can be. Don't try and be anyone else. And you're not perfect, and that's you, like, the sooner that you realize that, you know, you can't be perfect, and that there's, you know, that it's unachievable, you can sort of relax.
The people that you may have come across in the celebrity field do have fame and wealth and possessions. Do you sometimes find that these are the people that are challenged and are struggling with their actual life, their emotions and their relationships?
Yeah, they're just like everyone else. And it's the same as me. It's like, I've, like, you know, growing up, I did have a lot of, like, people around me say, like, oh, you've got it so easy. Like, you know what you want to do in life. With my family situation, I sort of became, like, the person who tried to understand why people behave the way that they did, and give reasons and try and communicate that to the other person who maybe didn't understand.
Do you ever fear of being so well known, like Beyoncé, that you lose your privacy within your life?
It is scary, and that's not why I'm doing this at all. Like, I don't, people go, oh, like, why do you want to be famous? And the reason that I say, oh, I want to be famous, or because I know that I want to be successful, and something that comes with being successful is fame in this career.
I'd just like to say thank you so much for giving us this amount of your time and sharing your thoughts and your emotions and your goals with everyone. It is hearing
and listening with you. Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Karen. It's been, yeah, lovely. I feel like I've said everything. I've been so honest today, like, almost too honest. Like, normally I sort of hold back a bit because then someone might be like, oh, she said this, and I don't know if I've said anything bad.